you know what? He did a really good job. You know, I knew about him and the qualities he had in Seattle, the leadership qualities, what he would bring to the locker room. And not only that, I think his ability on the field. And I think, you know, when he came down here, as far as on the field, I think he was really excited about it. And the way we played him, the different techniques, he did exactly what we were looking for. And then a great job in the locker room. I just felt like, you know, Dave and I, when we talked, we had a chance to, you know, with a guy like Jared Odrick out there, really elevate that. And we're always trying to compete, always trying to, you know, have guys come in that will elevate our team. And we just felt like he did a good job on film playing very similar positions that Red did.
No coach likes cutting guys, but was that one tough? You've known Red a long time.
Yeah, they're always tough. You know, it doesn't matter who they are, or seeing guys go. So, but, yeah, I've known Red for a long time. You know, my only years in Seattle. Cuts are always difficult. And
we've talked to Dave a lot about this, but your thoughts on the roster heading out of free agency and where you stand now?
Well, I think that, you know, we definitely have a plan how we're putting it together. And the first 2 years, you know, heavily on the draft with some additions of free agents. And this year we felt like, you know, as we get settled in and we find out our young players, who's doing well and who we can count on, now is to filter in some, you know, maybe some tier one type free agent players that we've talked about. So, you know, I feel like I'm excited about the group that we're bringing in. I think not only are they good players on the field, but I think there'll be a good mix of what we're looking for in our locker room. And, you know, I'm excited about our younger guys in the locker room, and I think these guys will just bring some additional wisdom.
Did you watch any tape on Bernard Kirst yet?
Yes, I did.
Well,
I think, you know, when he first came in the league, he had a really good year, did a really nice job. And then against us, he had, I think, one or two long runs, did a nice job there, too. So I think, you know, just that guy that's got experience, you know, I think that whole process, Dave and our scouting staff had a chance to, you know, visit and learn more about him and felt comfortable about him and, you know, where he was at. And then when I met with him, I felt like he was an individual that, you know, really was on his last opportunity of his contract, I think, going into it, and really wanted to get back going like where he was in his rookie year.
Or how did that work out?
We didn't. Ideally, I think as I'm saying this, that we had hoped that he would go the whole year and, you know, Chad Henne would be our starter. But as we went through OTAs and training camp, you could see, you know, we were on this race to maturity trying to speed up this learning process for him, and just felt like at that time of the season, you know, really the rest of the time he needed to be on the game field. So now looking back at it, I'm glad he did get that experience. I think going into it this offseason, what I'm hearing from players is he's doing a great job, really competing, throwing every day, meeting with players around the league, couple quarterbacks from other teams, getting their offseason routine down. So, yeah, he's everything we'd hope for as far as mentality and competitiveness. Well, I thought that he was, you know, really internally driven, and that is so true. He has no fear. I felt like that going through the whole process when we're picking a quarterback, and he plays with no fear. Those aspects, I think, were really exciting for us. And what did I learn about him? You know, I think just toughness. I knew he was tough, but just how tough and how fast I think that he would take over the team. You know, we've got, I think the team really gravitates towards him, offensively, defensively, special teams-wise. And I didn't know it would happen that fast.
What does it say about him? He had a tough end of the rookie season stats-wise, but he seems to have come out of it, as you say, be leading very quickly and taking over that role. Could have been frazzled coming out of it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think he started off really strong, you know, the first couple of games he played, and then he dipped, you know, whether teams started to watch a lot of film on him, started to figure out, and he struggled there for a while, but we struggled as a team. And then, you know, in the second half of the season, the last five or six games, he picked it up again. And, you know, I think that's what's feeding his offseason. He's had a taste of it. He knows what it should look like now. And, you know, it's our job to get even more talent around him, and that's what we felt like we did with free agency. And, you know, I think the first thing was to protect the quarterback. Have to find ways to do that with addition on the offensive line and then some, you know, a receiving threat for him.
When Dave talks about building around Blake, that's more than just offense. That can mean building up the defense too, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, defensively, you know, we're a little bit more veteran on defense, so it's important to get some young guys in there, and we'll have to do that somewhat through the draft. But, you know, offensively, we needed some veteran leadership. We were really young on offense, and to bring in guys that will help, guys like Mercedes and Zane Beatles is always good. Well, you know, when guys like that come in, you know, I think we're fairly open about that. It's an open competition. And we made a lot of changes, over 460-some roster changes in the last couple of years. So to me, it's another guy that wants to come in and compete. And we provide him an opportunity. And, you know, I think it just we need more depth in our running back room. And his intensity, his love of the game, I think are all attributes that we like.
He obviously had a well-publicized issue in the Baltimore, which is why he was cut. What were your concerns with that, and how did you get past that?
Well, I think that, you know, Dave, like I said, Dave and the scouts, you know, talked quite a bit. And I think when my meeting with him, I wanted to see, you know, remorse, you know, or humility, you know, because I think that, you know, we all make mistakes, and not that it's right or wrong, but I think it's one of those things that, you know, and maybe it's to a fault of mine. You know, we feel like, okay, we can help. You know, we can help in this process and get them back on track. And I think the guys in our room and the guys in the locker room will help that process too. So, you know, it'll be interesting. But to me, it's another opportunity for another person to come in and compete.
If Mercedes is on the roster week one, is there any concerns how he'll handle what is probably a reduced role?
Well, I don't know. See, I know there was some talk about that, but they play, Julius and Mercedes play two totally different positions. One's a F and one's a Y. So, you know, what you could see is more of 12 personnel on the field, you know, because of both those guys. And, you know, different traits. Obviously, Mercedes is a great run blocking tight end and has the ability to, you know, extend the field as well. Julius, you know, it's kind of flipped. His traits are, you know, more the pass catching, receiving type tight end. And so, you know, to have those both guys on the field, I think is very intriguing.
You know, you said a couple of times last year that we need to find out what these guys are good at, right? Have you shaped the roster enough to where, okay, now we know what these guys are good at?
It's interesting, Sam, because 2 years ago, I mean, we were getting free agents and drafting just for players to start, you know, through the whole draft. And I think now that where we're at right now, it says, okay, we feel pretty comfortable with certain guys at certain positions. And now to implement some free agency, another draft class to build on that. And then it's just, you know, gaining experience. The more and more these guys play, I mean, they're, you know, when they're third, fourth, fifth year players, that's when they should be ideally playing fast. And by playing fast, that experience with their youth of speed, I think is a good combination.
You have a good feel for this particular roster at this point in your third year.
Yeah, because I think it's not as much turnover, you know, this year as it was maybe in the past.
Although, free agency potentially picked up a quarter of the lineup as new starters.
Yeah, they're coming in, they're competing. It could, yeah. We don't know for sure how it's going to work out, but we're still learning about these guys. We'll continue to learn about them. But every year, that's the NFL. You know, your roster turns over some, and you got to be able to adjust.
What made Sergio Brown a good fit for free safety?
Well, I think, you know, obviously we're looking for a free safety that has really good range and can run from sideline to sideline. And that's what he has. He has very good speed. He covered a lot of ground. Did some great things on the field that part. So some of the things that, you know, I think we need to see him do more is become even a better tackler. You know, I think that's one of the things we need him. But some of the things we're asking him to do, the sideline to sideline, to play half field coverage, his ball skills, his spirit, his energy are all probably check marks in his corner.
Talk some of your thoughts on Chris Borland, what happened last week, you know, from your perspective, do you admire his decision? Do you think it's going to be a trend in the league down the line?
I don't know if it's a trend. It sounds like just a little bit I've read about it or heard about that it was something that he had some thoughts about for some time. So I think he put a lot of thought into it. So therefore, I respect his decision. And you know, and what he wanted to do. You know, for some reason, he felt like that was best for him. And he tried to gather as much information, and based on his past experiences, came up with that conclusion. Well, it sure sounds like it. You know, the concussions, things like that have gone down. But we can still do better. You know, we still have conversations as coaches when we pull over, you know, walk over to other rooms and by ourselves and just, you know, better ways to teach tackling, better ways, you know, some of the rule changes that are taking the head out of the game. You know, I think it is getting safer. I know this, we're competing to try to make it safer, and the players are listening.
Because you were in Seattle where they did a good job developing talent. Now that's what you're trying to do here. What is the key to doing that? And are there certain coaches, what are qualities that coaches need to have to do
that? Yeah, I think that, you know, in college there's a mentality of being developmental coaches. You get them as high school seniors and you see them all the way through their career. And so it's more of a mindset, this is who we have, it's all we have, and it's our job to get them better. And I think somewhat in the NFL, it's a little bit different mentality. It's, this is who we have, and if we don't like him, let's get someone else. You know? So I think for our staff, it's kind of, we want to have that college mentality in the NFL. We want to be that developmental coaching staff. Hey, we get a player, he just comes off the street, we pick him up off the waiver wire. This is who we have, it's all we have, it's our job to get him better. You know, and really try to get our coaches in that mindset so we can be developmental coaches. The process that we're in, we need to develop guys. With 400 and some roster changes, we're going to have a lot of turnover. You know, we did for the last couple of years. So I didn't want the coaches to fall in that mindset, oh, next guy in. No, no, no. Have a genuine appreciation for him coming in, and now let's help him get better.
How much do your core guys need to be guys that are from the draft, or can you add those guys? Do you view that you can add those guys from free agency with all the moves that
Well, you always, we just talked about free agency. You know, it's challenging. If you asked any general manager in here, they'd like to build their whole team through the draft. But, you know, with free agency, there's guys that have come in and been very productive. And I think it's got to be the right fit. The challenge, I think, in free agency is you don't really, some of these guys I didn't meet. I didn't have a chance. They didn't come into our facility. After we signed them, that was the first time I met with them. So how do you know how they're going to fit in the locker room? You hear, you may talk to other players or, you know, or maybe some of our players. Zane Beatles was on our team, and he knew Julius, but other than that. So it's hard with free agency. And you hope that you're bringing in not only the right talent, but also the right mindset in your locker room.
In that same vein, what intrigued you about Devon House, and what do you think he can add?
Well, he was unique in that our DB coach, Dwayne Walker, coached him in college, had him at New Mexico State. So his competitiveness, I think that what we felt with him is, as the years gone on from college, where Coach Walker saw him, to where he's at now, we saw great maturity. But he's not there yet. So here he is going into, you know, a prime of his career, and he's got great upside. I think that's what, you know, we really liked about him.
Is it okay to look at a guy like Ciprian and compare him to you and the whole team? That first year, it's clear he got a lot of talent. He ran around half the time, not sure where he was supposed to be. The second year, last year, clear he had a lot of talent. Half the time, he'd make the play, and the other times, he's chasing after Des Bryant.
Right.
This year, the expectation is, hey, he's going to start to reach his potential now.
Well, yeah, I think that he's, you know, all these experiences, I've just seen it, you know, with guys like Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas and, you know, the progress they make, and they continue to get better. They see things that they haven't seen before. One of the things I think with Sip playing his position, two things. One, the more times you see things, the better you get at it, obviously. You know, it's repetition, repetition, repetition. And so his, now he's going into his third year, he's had some, you know, memory or some experiences that he can go back on and say, hey, I've seen that before. So that part is good. I think the other thing is when you play with some of the same guys on the field, year after year, you gain trust. And when you gain trust with them, now you really put your focus on your job and what you need to do. At times, probably Sip was trying to fix everybody. He's trying to do more than just his job. You know, and that comes sometimes when, you know, you're installing a new defense. But I think he's gaining that trust, so hopefully he settles down. The repetition part comes together for him to where you see him make great strides.
What you just said, isn't that kind of the whole team at this point?
It is. It is. It's you know, I said it last year. It's like a broken record, this race to maturity. You know, and you're trying to, you know, not have it happen 6 years from now. You want to happen in 2 years or 3 years. And that's the challenge for our team. We try to do things. We try to keep things simple as possible. We try to eliminate as many distractions as we can, all in a, you know, manner to try to speed up this race and to get guys to play consistently at a high level.
The NFL has talked about simplifying the rule book, and you know, Troy Vincent's been talking a fair amount about that and you know, narrowing down some of the definitions. When you became a head coach, I mean, how difficult was it to absorb that big thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, man. Yeah. I'm not sure. You know, we're going through all those rules now, and you know, there's a reason why you're on the sideline. Officials will come over and talk to you, you know, and we'll visit with you about, you know, whether you're going to challenge a play or not. You know, so, but, yeah, it's our job to know all the rules and our job to understand them. We may not agree with some of them, but, you know, we surely should understand them.
Teaching them to players, I mean, that's the other part, right? I mean, obviously you could, you know, study them in your office, but then the players, you know, probably aren't studying.
Yeah, we try to hit on a certain amount of, you know, in OTAs and training camp, you know, when you have a little bit more time, you know, talking about foolish penalties. The officials come in, they do a great job. Yeah. They're there for 3 days with us and our team, and then they'll meet with our team. Yeah. And we try to take advantage of that by having an official in every one of the position meeting rooms. So as they watch film, you know, they can ask them questions. So, yeah, it's a process.